Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Welcome to episode 315 of Fourth and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Hollis Thomas, aka Damn Skippy. And first, we'd like to apologize for our tardiness, but it's been a whirlwind week. Obviously, the Eagles.
Whoa! It's on now. We are a team, but don't pass the buck because you guys didn't show up. I was here waiting with baby breath to do this show, especially after the jacked up ale.
Obviously,
continue, sir.
I was here on Tuesday. I was getting off an airplane ready to do a show. So that correction, you had a show to do, a speaking engagement. So corrected. As I speak here, it's been a long week. Everyone's been moving and shaking. I was out in LA. It was a little crazy week, but we're here trying to give you guys a show before the next game here. And we're going to talk about the L. Obviously, some Eagle fans will make excuses. Some Eagle fans will take the L on the chin and move forward. I, for one, like, again, first of all, we had a great tailgate that game. A lot of great energy before the game. Obviously, it didn't roll into the game itself. I thought the Eagles, man, you know, how many times could you figure out a way to lose? They figured it out. I think, you know, at the end of the day, that defense, the interior – has not showed up for the last two games, and things have happened. Things have happened, like Howie Roseman bringing in Linville Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. So I feel like they saw a problem, they addressed it quickly. But here we are. Here we are. Are you guys feeling pretty good about this?
I'm in the camp that took it on the chin, Gail. Personally, what did you want to say, Hans?
Good. I was gonna say I personally can't let Jonathan Gannon get away with this shit. This is the second week in a row. The kid in Houston, he ran for 139 yards on us. If you're gonna have two high safeties, you need to cut up the run. You can't have our defensive linemen lined up stripe to stripe with somebody all game long without anything creative going on. One, it turns boring. Two, it gives the opposing team an advantage against you because they know where you're going to be at, and they can count on it. They ran the same two running plays that we saw previously at the Houston Texans, and I distinctly said somebody's going to figure out the recipe just to slow our offense down. We have a high power offense. They were able to slow them down to 22 points. They kept the ball that first half for 20 plus minutes. 20 plus minutes, and we lined up. They were running goal line offense in the middle of the damn field, and we still had the same bull crap that he's been trotting out there. It's like you cannot, if they have more than we do, they're going to push us around like they did. That's what playoff football, what we saw on this past week, that's what playoff football is about. When you get to the playoffs, that's what happens. I'm glad it happened now, and I'm glad we were able to bring some people in, but how many people do we need to bring in before somebody goes right to the guy who's supposed to be coaching these guys and putting them in winning positions, and he's not. We have two guys on the team that had 15 plus sacks last year, and they've been dropping in pass coverage. Are you fucking kidding me? We had two bum ass QBs damn near kick our ass. When is somebody gonna say something? Am I the only one that sees the roach on the wall? Am I the only one? Am I at somebody's house at a dinner and I'm the only one that sees the roach on the wall? Jonathan Gannon needs to come on, or put Vic Fangio in charge. Damn it. I've been waiting to say that shit all week.
You see, normally, Hollis, I would be of the I would be of the opinion that with an 8-1 team, don't fix what ain't broke. But there is a clear and obvious broken thing going on here. Jonathan Gannon and his defense is a legitimate problem. I think that you can also look back to, I don't think it's all on Jonathan Gannon. I think a lot of it has to do with personnel as well. I think that Jordan Davis did a much better job of clocking
You're giving him an out. But you're giving him an out.
This isn't going to be the shit on Jonathan Gannon show.
Because I'm just saying
we're 8-1. There's only so much we can talk about with Jonathan Gannon. But I agree with you. That's my point I'm trying to get across is I agree with you that Jonathan Gannon is definitely a problem. And the alternative that we have in the building in Vic Fangio is something that is, you know, not around very often. It's not like teams just have a defensive coordinator waiting in the wing. I agree with you. But I just don't see even though I would like it to happen.
I know you don't see. That's why I'm telling you.
No, I'm saying you're not listening. Yeah. I don't see the Eagles making a move pulling the rug out from Jonathan Gannon. I just don't see that happening, considering the record. That's my point. I think that while I would love to, I would love better defensive scheming. I agree with you that it's absolutely criminal that Robert Quinn is dropping back into coverage. That's not how these guys are best utilized. And I think that Gannon is doing a complete disservice. I for one, am ready. I just don't think it would happen. That's my point, is that I don't think that the Eagles would have the cojones to drop a coordinator midway through the year when we are one of the best teams in the league. I just don't think that is a legitimate thing to happen.
But Ev, we're this team in spite of him. We're this team because we have the secondary. Agreed. We have, because we went and got the linebacking core. Have you seen the crap that he's trotting out there? And
I
then
see
when
it.
He does do something a little bit different. We saw the Pittsburgh game. We were running stunts. And if we got a secondary that's good, it could be great with just a little bit of pressure. You saw what happens when you put a little bit of pressure on Taylor Heinicke.
Yep.
He threw us the ball. Come on, man. This ain't the Sixers. We ain't got time. We'll have 80 plus games to wait around. He needs to shit or get off the pot. It's like the case in point, who played 70 plays at 31 years old? In the last game, 70 plays. How the hell did we give up that many plays? And he only played 80% of the snaps. How do we give up that many plays to the damn Commanders? They
You're also exactly right in the fact that the Commanders found out the way to beat us. It's 100% just controlling the clock, controlling the ball. I mean, what did the game end with? Like they had like 40 plus minutes of time of possession. Yeah, 40 minutes and 24 seconds to our 19 minutes and 36 seconds. But you're absolutely right. They kept our offense off the field.
I'm going to leave you guys with this last tidbit of information because this conversation could go on all day. They had three tight ends and the running back out there, and we still had six DBs and just four linemen. What kind of fight do you think you're going to win when they're running what we call Dogie and we're running some type of hybrid nickel or whatever the hell he was trying to come out there? You're supposed to match personnel. Big people beat up little people, especially in this game. And they put us in the phone booth and they caught us.
What was your thoughts on that? But before we move off it and weird formations, what was your thought on that one play where we had everybody like lined up on the sidelines? I've never seen a formation like that before in my life. I mean, it worked for that play, but I've never seen a formation. What was your thoughts on that, Hollis? I mean, yeah. I guess I already know your opinion on it.
He just we're playing against. Yeah, we're playing against Taylor Heineke. That was my thoughts. We're playing against. If anybody else would torture, it's like you look at. And then he started running the defense where our secondary is way back off the ball. And it seems like I don't know. And I don't think we can't have this. To me, I'm glad it happened now, but we can't have this type of hiccup and just like sweep it under the rug and act like it didn't happen. Because yes, we are 8-1. But if you look at some of the games, I've been saying this, a team will find a way to keep our explosive offense on the side. My thing is the length of drives that we're giving up. We gave up a 16-play drive to Taylor Heineke. Are you fucking kidding me? 16 plays?
That's inexcusable.
And I'm like,
and it was all game long.
Yeah, well, they had 47 runs on the ground as well. You know, so it's
49 to be exact. But who's counting? Apparently, I am. But it's like, and I understand what you guys are saying, but we need to fix the mistakes. One. I know you want to talk about the new blood that we got in here, some fresh legs. But my thing was this too. We had a 31-year-old defensive tackle who everybody thinks doesn't have anything. Have you ever thought that you're not giving him anything to fight with? You lining him up 70 times in the exact same position. The two guys above in front of him know exactly what he's going to do and exactly where he's going to be at. What the hell? You're not that strategic about that. Nothing at all. You're not slanting him. You're not looping him. You're not running anybody. You're not switching gaps with him. It's like you're not doing anything. And we have an athletic front that you could do those type of things with. We just got our coach. Yeah, that's right, Will. We got our coach.
Yeah, and talk about this whole Batman thing has been a thing for the season. And some of these guys that were Batmans haven't played up to that standard, especially the last game. You know, like even, you know, A.J. Brown, I seen when he came up, Gimpy won that one play. I was like, bro, he's not right. As soon as it happened, I was like, bro, he's not right.
But you know what, Gil? You know what that's from? It's from having our offense on the side. When your offense is not doing anything and they're not building any continuity, did you see any of the Washington players pull up Gimpy like that? That came from stiffness, from not being able to move around because you're on the sideline because your defense is giving up the rhythm.
But I mean, Quez Watkins, another guy. I know Ev had mentioned him being a Robin. I mean, at that play, at that moment, it's a point in time where you're like, they're about to get back into the game. You see all these mistakes that happen all game long. The ref on the Dallas Goedert play when they nearly decapitated him, and then they gave him the ball away on a fumble that would have never happened if he didn't get hook, line, and sinker. I just felt like that was the dagger for me. I was like, bro, come on. Like, what else can happen? I'm like, this is crazy. So just, you know.
That play was absolutely brutal, but I do have to ask Collis.
I know, but
go ahead. What?
Go ahead.
I'm saying.
I'm not saying when he was we were talking about the microcosm stuff. The other part. What are you going to say about the Brandon Graham thing?
No, I was going to ask you if it's a silver lining at all that even though, despite the fact of how awful the defense played, despite the fact the time of possession, if Quez Watkins simply catches that ball, we're still in the game to win it. Right. And so that to me is a silver lining, a little saving grace in the fact that as awful as we played, even though it was against Taylor Heineke, we're a good enough team that as bad as we played, we were still in that thing, man. I think that the Eagles are notorious as a fan that, you know, I've been a fan for nearly 30 years now of my life. And I see it every year that they cough one up to a team that they shouldn't cough one up to. Eagles notorious trait that happens every year.
And this is one of those ones.
Yep, and that's exactly it. It's one of those ones.
Well, you know what the weird thing is one of those ones where we played them early in the season. We played them with, and you know, we came out and we still had the opportunity to win. but you just kind of, it just kind of felt like we were going to lose because the officiating was horrible. And now on top of that, after they didn't call the face mask, and to end the game, how fitted is to end the game with Taylor Heinicke high-fiving because he got Brandon Graham to run into him after he kneeled. And they called that bull crap. And I'm like,
I think it was a smart play by Heinicke.
As time goes on, that's how you get the quarterback's head to off. And then you start putting them on the flags. But in a microcosm, that's how our night went. And to me, I've been pissed off all week about it, mainly because I've been saying this since last year about our defense. We have the personnel this year. There is no excuse. If you're a coach, you put your players in optimal positions to win. Right now, we just have a guy who's being passive aggressive. And as a defense, as a defense, you're supposed to dictate, not take dick. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. It's like you're supposed to make them one-dimensional. We were supposed to have three or four picks because we shut down the run and made Taylor Heinicke beat us. And you know what would have happened? We would have got our offense on the field and they would have got rolling. That didn't happen though because if the football guys say, wait, let's give them this loss now. Let's see if they have the wherewithal and the testicle fortitude to correct the mistakes and come back out with some quality tackling and some good run defense. Because if we don't, we're going to be out in the first playoff game we fucking play. Because actually, I said this after the Texas game when that kid got that 139 yards. This is a copycat league. Everybody's going to be looking at that game and then the game we lost on how to beat us. Mm-hmm. So we have to combat that, and we have to get it, nip it in the bud now. It's a good opportunity coming up. You got Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan sucks, but they have a great running game. So we have to. It's a great opportunity, and this game coming up tomorrow. I think it's perfect for us to rectify what happened. The immortal words of our crooner Genuine, I'm not doing this shit for nothing.
Yeah, talk about our offense. Our offense last game turned the ball over. That's something they don't really, do very much. So I think again, when things happen, they happen happen in bunches, and that's what happened. You can't run away from it. They happened. They have to clean that up moving forward. I think some people believe that Jalen Hurts did his best out there, but I just think as a whole, the whole team wasn't on sync. Mm-hmm. The fact that we didn't run the ball in the first half, the fact that we didn't have the ball in the first half, I guess that's again, like you said, the copycat league. Teams will try and do that, keep the offense off the field and drive it down your throats. I just like the only thing, the saving grace for me is just like, okay, you saw an issue. Okay, Gannon aside, you got Ndamukong Suh in here, and you got Linville Joseph in here. Okay.
Yep.
Do something about it.
Linville Joseph.
I got a question for Hollis, too, because as I was sitting here looking at it, I was like, Howie just clogged the holes with, two bigger body, older players. Hollis, are you a little bit upset that your phone didn't ring? Or?
Right.
That was a question.
Hell no, I'm like 12 years older than both of them kids. I'm damn near 50. If my phone ring, I'd be looking at it like, I wonder, are they trying to give me some tickets so they need me
well,
my time is past, dude.
I'm just kidding.
That you see.
Did you happen to see Darren Sproles' comments?
No, I was like,
what did Sproles say?
Sproles was getting interviewed. He was talking about how he would be willing to make a playoff push with the Eagles if they called him in a punt return capacity. I was like, oh, okay, if you're saying
we need to call his ass because our team sucks. I know, but it's like I can see him coming back. He's still in his 30s. Like when I first left, I was 36, and then it was a couple of years. I was like, I started working out. I was like, you know what? But then as I got into my 40s, and I was like, no, I'm good. I'm good. There's no way on God's green earth. I'd be just like AJ Brown on that one play. on one play, the first play, we're like,
I remember when AI was it was right after when the Big Three tournament happened, and someone asked AI if he could still dunk, and he was like, "Bro, those days are over." And I was like, "Yeah, I feel that AI."
Hey, you just gotta see it coming.
Yeah, like yeah. It's like Father Time is undefeated, and once you get into your 40s. It's
finally catching up to Tom.
I did see that.
Tom was untouchable.
Well, Tom Brady sucks. He's 45 and they don't touch him. They don't like if nobody was going to touch me and all I had to do was exercise and move around, I could do that shit. Right now they've made a lot. You saw he's starting to kick. He's getting old because he's starting to kick at people now when they tackle him.
I saw that.
They caught the interception on him.
Sue did that earlier in his career too.
He got fined. I like that because the guy was holding him. A lot of people don't pay attention. It's like I like Sue's attitude. I was like, I don't give a damn about the other team. I didn't either. I was like, I wasn't gonna do nothing dirty. But he has the mentality that most of the defensive linemen have, and some of us act on it, but some of us. Some of us don't really act on it, but we act on it between whistles. Put it that way. Mm-hmm. He don't give a damn about the whistles, and that's the guy the offensive lineman fears a lot.
Yeah. Now Sue was talking about
can't get right.
Sue was talking about he said he wasn't just on the couch, but he was still out here working out and training. He said that he was enjoying his time with his sons, his twin boys. But he said this was an opportunity that he was looking at to win championships. He said he's also talked to Slay. Slay's been recruiting him. He feels like this is a great opportunity to get right with the team that needs his services. I think
big time.
He's played in every single front you could play in. He knows all it comes down to is terminology. Yeah. Throw his ass in the game. At least Sue was Sue. Yeah. He's not going to let someone cross-face him.
Hollis, can you talk to when you go to a new team and in your particular position? I mean, this like we're talking interior defensive line right now. Mm-hmm. What is that transition like as far as like learning a playbook, learning a new scheme? Like, is it a hard transition or is it just pretty much like you got to fight the guy in front of you? I mean,
well, the thing is you learn the terminology. You know, if they have different blitzes and stuff you're supposed to be doing, which he shouldn't have any problem there because we don't have any blitzes. But the main terminology is what do they call the ET stuff? What do they call the four defensive linemen? Normally, it's the right end is called Rick. Ron, Rick, Lynn, and Lon. Those are the four names for the defensive linemen. And you call your stunts, whether the looper be Lynn, Rick, or Ron, or something like that. You just have to learn their terminology for them. And what do they call the TE stunt? And what do they call the Isaac stunt, which is the double tackle stunt? Mm-hmm. And then it is also, they call Tony stunts or nose stunts. A nose stunt is when the nose guard comes across the center of the face of the center. And what do they call the spike stunt versus the slant? A slant and a spike is two different things. One is a gap exchange. And one is just a slant to clean everything up. I think they don't have anything to worry about there. All they have to do know what is a A gap and a B gap, a one, a two, or a three. That's the lineup. If you're a one, you are lined up over the outside out of the center. A two, you lined up head up over the guard. A three is outside of the guard. So that's the main. So yeah, that's the main thing. The blocking schemes never change. I tell you, it's like. This reminds me of when I went to play for the Panthers, and it was like around midseason, and they was like, they had me there. We went through the meetings and stuff, and then we went out to walk through. So he's like the first defense out there, so it's my first day there. So I'm standing next to the defensive line coach, and he looks over and say, "What the hell are you doing?" I say, "They say first defense. I don't know the defense." He said, "You know how to play nose guard, don't you?" I say, "Yes." He say, "You can figure out the rest out there. They tell you where to go." So I think this is one of those things where we got two big guys up front. They're going to tell me if you got the A gap or the B gap and let it roll from there. Because if you look at the runs that we got, they're going to try to run those exact same runs. If you put those guys in there, like when we had Jordan in there, they can't move. You can't get any movement on Jordan. It's like, but we remove Jordan from the thing from the equation. And then we got Marlon got hurt. So you move those guys who are used to taking on double team blocks, or what I call the rub double. You know, I haven't explained to you guys what a rub double is. We were getting a basic zone scheme with rub doubles in the interior. Rub double is when the center hits you, and the center guard hits you. They get some movement on you, and one of them comes off to go and get the linebacker. If he gets the linebacker, that's when we have a problem, because he's going to get 2 or 3 yards and he's barreling down on one of our safeties who's already deep. That's what they were doing to each side. That's what the previous team was doing to us on each side, and just making good cutbacks and putting us on notice that it's going to be a physical game. So, you know, that's most of your questions.
Now, Todd asked, he said, what's the differences that you see in Sue and Joseph?
Well, Sue is a get upfield type guy, but he's also stronger. He can break down a double team. He's going to have a higher motor than Linval Joseph, even though Linval had that 68-yard fumble recovery against us when he was playing for the Vikings in 2000. I want to say it's 2018.
Yep.
But the Linval Joseph, Linval will be able to clog up the middle, and you'll get pocket crushing from both of them, but you'll get more pocket crushing from Ndamukong Suh. And he just brings that nastiness, and he has the ability to not only play in the interior, but to kick it out into a 4 or 5 as well, because he could also play a big end if you're going to do some stuff like that where they run the 3-4 stuff. So that's why he said he's played in a lot of fronts, and he can play all the defensive line positions. That's what you get out of Suh. Linval can just roll around there in the middle.
Now, RJ chimes, and he says our D-line is defensive line is senior citizen for real. But I think, you know, I told yeah. somebody the other day, I said, look at the movie, The Expendables. We're at a moment where you got one last fight in you. Bring it on in. We're going to need that kind of expertise. Need that expertise. And I do think.
Well, now, when you look.
Go ahead.
Okay. I thought I was just going to say, I think RJ, it's a good mix of young and old. you still got Milton there who plays. I think Milton will learn a lot from Ndamukong Suh. Those guys are 35 years old. That's not old. You're still stronger. You still got a year left, and you didn't have to go through training camp, so you've been working out. Well, I can at least tell Sue's been working out, and Linval Joseph, they both was on rosters last year, and Ndamukong Suh had 6.5 sacks last year. So, I mean, we didn't bring any slouches in here. Yeah. We just went, and we don't need them to play the entire game. We brought them in here to do some rotational type things. A lot of times when I go back to look at the old San Francisco teams when they were winning, you notice they would bring in a bunch of like older D linemen because they wanted a nice rotation of guys coming in, because we don't need Fletcher Cox to take 70 plays. 70 plays are crap because he's going to be tired, and so we want fresh people rolling in. And that's how you do it. I'm surprised that we got the quality. Normally, it's some guys you never heard of, and they come in there, you're expecting the world from them, and it's the reason why they were on the street.
Well, I mean, you have to consider that. I mean, we are it's not very often that we are the sought after place to go to. I mean, we are one of the top contenders in the league right now. So if I'm a free agent and I'm thinking about, you know, do I really want to put in the work? I already got the money. Do I want to put in the work? This is a team worth putting in for.
Now, now, Mark G chimes in.
Hold on
1 second.
Okay.
Mark G says, do you think Stoll will step up? He's made a couple solid catches. For those who don't know or were knocked out in a coma, Dallas Goedert is not with. He's not going to be around this game. So, what do you guys feel about this
question? He's out for 4 weeks.
I think we're going to get a mixed sort of. I think it's going to be a mix between Jack Stoll and Grant Calcaterra. Yeah. I don't want to sleep on him either. I think they're both going to have to step up. We might see some. I don't know how much.
There's a dark horse in there. There's a dark horse in there, Ev.
Tyree Jackson?
Hey, there's a dark horse. Yeah, there's a dark horse. I watched the kid play, and we've hit him for long enough. No, it's a little thing that sometimes teams do to hide a player. from places. They will say that they're injured.
The phantom injury, right.
And
right.
hire players.
Yeah.
And And I think it's his time now. I think I've seen him in practice do some stuff, and I saw him in a couple of preseason games. I think it's his time. I think it's his time.
Just to clarify, you are talking about Tyree Jackson. Quarterback out of
the University of Buffalo.
What was that?
Yes, Tyree Jackson. I think he's going to be the dark horse. But I think Jack is going to be able to handle the business. But I think the receiving core is going to be more in tune now, and we're going to get a little bit more booby. And I think Jack and the other guy are going to be really kind of delegated to blocking a little bit more.
Exactly. Same way I feel. But I do think that if you have them out there blocking enough, that opens them up where they could sneak behind a linebacker at one point and, pop off a nice 35-yard drive.
Exactly.
I think it's a great opportunity for Stoll to get some quality reps, show his skill set. Calcaterra, another, obviously a rookie. He's going to get an opportunity as well. Tyree Jackson, guy that we loved going into last season. I think he's going to get his opportunity as well. It does suck to see Dallas go down in the situation that he was in. Like, hey. I mean, that's the way
he went down too, man.
Brutal. It was absolutely, but that not only did he get like, obviously they missed the call, which would have negated the fumble. Right. And man almost got his head ripped off. That's just shitty 5 seconds right there.
Now Jimmy says Maddox.
Somebody just chimed in talking about big time, big time. I think, some of those plays that were, that we got caught in some zones. Some of the guys I don't think know how to run the zone like Maddox does, because it's kind of like a match zone. If a guy comes into your territory, you take him until he gets out of your territory. That's why we saw a lot of guys running free and fancy free, because you had the young guys in there who don't normally play. So that's the only setback. They did good in practice, but it's the game, and the game is where it counts. So hopefully he can play this week.
I think one of the craziest stats that I'm kind of taking away from this game is the fact that, it's a twofold type of thing. So Washington's offensive plays, they had 81 offensive plays to our 47. They almost doubled.
Yep, I told you.
They almost doubled.
I told you.
And then you look at the quarterbacks and you look at the attempts. And I get that the Eagles, they're playing from behind, but Tyler Heinicke only had 3 more pass attempts than Jalen Hurts. So it wasn't like, they spread that ball around. Washington really came in with a game plan to beat the Eagles, and we just sat there and took
Terry.
It. And we sat there and took it. Man.
McLaurin was eating, man.
Scary
McLaurin
Terry.
Was eating.
Yeah.
I mean,
Scary Terry was having the business. The one thing that continually pissed me off was they were running this. I could call the run plays. I was watching a game with Bartram them, and I was calling the run plays out. I was like, "Yep, here it comes again." And it's like when you see it, and it's like, why haven't we made any adjustments? Uh-huh. Why haven't we made any? And you leave that to the coaches. I was like, and I know Nick Sirianni is getting frustrated with what's going on, and I don't know if he can't pull the trigger or he won't pull the trigger, but I hate it being that one weak link. You have to have the testicle fortitude to play this game. Mm-hmm. You have to do what's necessary. I was like, you see it. I've seen it 2 weeks in a row where you're dropping a defensive end.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And rushing three from one side, and the quarterback scrambles out that way that you drop the defensive end to. That's not a sound structure. Yeah. When I say a lot of times people think that I mean just blitz all willy-nilly. When I say defense is organized chaos, I'm there to create havoc in your backfield. I'm there to put you on notice that you're not going to just be doing whatever. Like the last game, they did whatever the hell they wanted to us. They ran the ball. They passed the ball.
Yeah.
They ran the ball again and ran the ball some more. And they did whatever they wanted to us.
But they got just enough in the run game too, because you talked about how long those drives were. Like, you know, they had multiple drives that were like over 12 plays. It's insane. And then the 60 play one is just brutal. But I'm looking at like the actual stats of the players, and you know, no one really had a game aside from Scary Terry. No one had a game to write home about. Taylor Heineke, 7 for 29, 211 yards and interception.
You know, 6.9
rating.
You know what the right –
Brian Robinson was carrying for 3.3, averaging 3.3 yards a carry. Gibson, 3.1. They each had a touchdown, but all they were just getting enough. They were getting those first downs, and they were taking time off the clock.
You know what they did get? They got the W. And what you just read out to me, it was collected. They collectively kicked our ass. And it's like
I'm not denying that.
It's kind of like you're chipping away at a F. I'm not saying it's the end all be all, but we can't continue to let this guy deploy the guys the way he's doing. And you just gave him some more. And everybody, I was pissed when you first said, Ev, you were talking about the personnel. I was like, first of all, he's had great personnel this entire season and hasn't done anything with it. We're 8-1 despite him. If somebody had did this to us early on, then we would be in trouble. See, our offense is explosive, so we were able to get ahead and hold the lead, and our offense would sustain some drives. But when you get with a team that has just as good a defense as you, a decent defense, and can make some stops here and there, it will make your offense slow down and sputter because they can't get anything going. It's like the play to Jalen Watkins, had he not been trying to get up, or had it been a situation where we were already kicking their ass, he probably would have stayed down and kept the ball. But it was one of those situations, a desperation situation. And then all the bad calls just kind of blew up because you want to say that's why we lost. That's not why we lost. We lost because we lost the time of possession. Mm-hmm. They held the ball and they kept our offense off the field. Our offense had 3 turnovers.
What you're saying is it was an overall team effort from Washington, and that kind of takes the wind out of the sails of all the people that are sitting here bitching and complaining about, oh, it was the refs. No, we lost that game. We beat ourselves that game, man. We let Washington run all over us.
We didn't beat ourselves. No, Washington beat us. They kicked our ass. They came and they were disciplined. They didn't give up. They stuck to their game plan and they ran it out. And the game plan was good and sound. Had we had a coach that had a good sound game plan, the game probably would have been much closer. But it's like this score was indicative of the way we got our ass kicked. We literally and physically got our ass whooped out there. If you go back and look at that game, and I look at the game 2 or 3 times, they physically kicked our ass. Dude, they were throwing our defensive line out of the fucking club. And it's like no white tees. No Air Force Ones. And just run those two or three yards, they were brutal. And I'm talking about, it was like he wasn't going down. He was contact and he was dragging people. So it's like, I hope everybody looks at this game objectively, especially on the team, and be like, oh, we can't let that shit happen no more. And then somebody needs to say something to the coordinator to make sure that you have to give them something in the clip. You can't let them go out there and stand in front of an offensive line like that. They stand in front of the offensive line and just run into one gap.
One thing I noticed, little things I pick up during the game where there's just like a vibe that's going on, especially when it hasn't really happened crazy amount of times this season since we're, you know, been undefeated before the L, but the swagger of the Washington football team on the sidelines, the way they were, you know, looking at Eagle fans and just kind of like, I was just like, if they don't stop what they're doing on the sideline, I think Eagle fans might jump over the railings at this point. At that point in time of the game, it was like they had so much confidence on that sideline, knowing that they could dictate to the Philadelphia Eagles what they wanted to do. And I feel like as a undefeated football team playing at home in primetime, you got to dictate to teams what you want to do. You're the best team in the league. And I think if the team is going to take a learning lesson, the coaching staff, I'm like, start dictating to other teams what you do best.
You know what it felt like to me, Gail? It felt exactly like when we lost to Tampa Bay to Fitzmagic, and he comes to the podium and he's got all the chains on, all the chains on. And I saw Taylor Heineke and all like, the chains on the plane. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They're clouds right now, dude. Oh my god.
No, but Ev, did you see after he got Brandon Graham to do that penalty, how he was fucking celebrating?
Yeah,
I was like, that's how you know that you never won shit, and this is the pinnacle. They're the one that did. It's like they did exactly what it's like. And I said this earlier in the show. I said we're supposed to be dictating, not taking dick. They was kicking our ass. That's what the defensive coordinator is supposed to do. He's supposed to dictate. Taylor Heineke was supposed to be throwing the ball all out because they couldn't run. They ran the ball just enough. And put it this way, they had the confidence to go for it on 4th and 1 and 2 and run the ball at us. It was embarrassing. Damn Commanders. And then with their smug ass smiles and stuff over there, because this is another thing too. We really, if we had Vic Fangio coaching our defense, those smug grins would have been wiped off their fucking face. Because all they have the Jack Del Rio. As much as I hate Jack Del Rio, he's a quality defense coordinator.
Now,
what did Luciano say?
Prime said they kicked our ass for sure against the run defense. But I agree with Ev. We beat ourselves when it mattered the most.
Quest certainly beat us. That's for sure.
No, we didn't beat ourselves. They beat us.
Well, I mean,
if we're talking about a poor defensive game plan, we did.
I mean, talk about we didn't. We haven't talked about.
Like, yeah, You have to. Oh, you haven't talked about what?
No, I said we haven't talked about, you know, a guy that we love in BG, and the fact that you know, he, that play, another play that pissed me off. Heineke doing the he gave himself up, but like, dude was already in motion. But it's a very ticky tack call. But I thought they should have just let that go. But then the fact that it had to end that way, that was even I was even more salt on the wounds.
Yeah.
It wasn't more so in the wound that Casey Tuhill took the last play of the game into the end zone on that shitty ass you know, schoolyard lateral play.
Oh jeez!
Oh god! You know what? That's you know what? And it's like, the funny thing is it's like we beat them first, and they beat us on our home field. So I mean, we just have to take it. You have to look at this one. And I know that Jeff Lurie was pissed. This is like, you know, this is like this, him and the Commanders go back to when they won the NFC East on our field. And the next day we fired Chip Kelly. I was like, so, you know, Jeff was pissed off about this one.
Now moving on to the Colts here. I know
that's what I was about to say. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, you know, a team who's dealing with some hardship. Their management felt it was right to give Mr. Saturday, an opportunity to coach. They came out, got a dub, and maybe they feel that they're changing the narratives in Indianapolis. But I feel like, you know, they're bringing in the Eagles, who have come off a loss. And I feel like, do they think they changed the culture over there? You know, at the end of the day, you know, the Eagles are favorite to win this game. I do think getting their ass kicked last week, I think it should have motivated this team to get right. And I feel like, you know, again, Matt Ryan, veteran quarterback in the league, I thought we were going to get the rookie by this point in the season. Matt Ryan is back. You know, I feel like, you know, they have a run game in Jonathan Taylor where he's, you know, he was all world last year. You know, he's been dealing with some injuries this year.
Had 147 yards last week.
Yeah, but I mean, he has dealt with injuries.
I was about to say.
So you think the Colts look at the Eagles as ripe for the picking after last week's out?
I think the Eagles got to be playing angry this week.
I was going to formulate something to you. I was like, this is one of those games to where I think the Colts are they're on a little bit of a roll because they got a new coach and they got a little injection. I was like, but the Eagles are coming off a loss and an embarrassing loss. And if you look at what a lot of the players were saying, they're trying to right the ship. This is a good game to try to right the ship on, mainly because you got a coach that's never coached before, but he still has a good quality coaching staff. So he says he's the leader of men. Let's see if he can lead them. And my thing was, what do you think? How do you think? Do you think that Jonathan Gannon is going to have the wherewithal to stop them? That was my question to you, Ev. Because you keep on you were talking about his personnel.
I was saying that Jordan Davis's absence is being felt. That's what I was saying about personnel, which I think it has been. And that's why I think that he went out and got Sue, and he went out and got Linville Joseph is to clog those holes, give Fletcher Cox some help so he doesn't have to play nearly 80 plays in a game. I think that was my point. I think that Jonathan Gannon's defensive game plan has been really kind of abysmal this year. So do I have confidence in the fact that he's going to draw something up that is going to be able to stop Jonathan Taylor? Not exactly, but I'm hoping that the talent of these guys that are on this defensive line will be able to do that in spite of Jonathan Gannon.
To mask it again?
To mask it again. Yeah, but at the end of the day, a win's a win, man.
Yeah, it's like the one – yeah, a win, a W is a W. I think that this is a game where it's not a gimme game. It's a game we should win. Both coaches are going back to where they used to coach at before. Sirianni and Gani, they both coached in this area. Thank you. Prime is like, the Cinderella story is over. Yeah, I think this is where we let Jeff Saturday know about real coaching, about real NFL coaching. Because I think they brought him in there more so just for as a fresh face that knows Indianapolis, because all the other guys in there and the analytics stuff, I think they just want a guy in there who's going to coach. But given that and saying that, I feel like Nick Sirianni should take it personal that he's going up against the intern coach who's never coached before. and didn't go through the ranks of coaching. I'm just saying he didn't go through the ranks of coaching in general. He was a high school coach, okay, but he wasn't a general assistant. He didn't go through being a quality control guy. He didn't go through becoming a position coach, and then he didn't go through becoming a coordinator to get to being the head coach.
Isn't there a whole process? Sorry.
No. Well, speaking of Indianapolis, if you're out there and you want to tailgate, give a shout out to Philly Sports Trips, and make a reservation at phillysportstrips.com. They're also doing their damn thing. There will be also a ultimate bus trip to MetLife Stadium, December 11th. Get tickets for that as well. And then there's also the Birds ultimate trip in Chicago, December 16th to 19th. I'm trying to figure out
if Chi-town heat, baby.
Too cold to go, or I really want to go for the pizza. You going? Ev, are you going? Are you going?
I went to Northern Illinois. So.
Oh, you gotta go then.
I haven't figured that one out yet.
I went to college in Northern Illinois, and a lot of my buddies live in the Chicago area, and they will be at the tailgate in Chicago at the Chicago game.
Nice.
Back to Indianapolis. Indianapolis has a good sound defense, and they're pretty much in most of the game. I think we have enough offensively to score some points. Yeah. They got Stephon Gilmore, and they got, you know, Leonard's not playing, is he?
Yeah, Leonard's he's out for the season.
Rodney McLeod.
Back injury.
Okay. Rodney McLeod?
Yeah.
I know. Buckner was he had a neck injury, but he will be playing this game. So I feel like
he's a man amongst boys. Mm-hmm.
You think he caused us a problem this week?
Yeah.
You think so?
he's always going to cause problems, but hopefully he doesn't cause us too many problems. I mean, sometimes you got to tip your hat off to certain people and let them get their little shine. But don't focus on it to where you go away from it being a team sport. You hope that the guy who's blocking him doesn't get his ass kicked every play. he's got to win some of the battles. So, but I think that at times he's going to be a handful to block. So, and that's what he got the big bucks for. He's a good defensive lineman. So,
Darren wants to know if you know of any pigeons on the
offensive line is actually pretty good.
Yeah, Quentin Nelson's.
Their offensive line is actually pretty good. Yeah. Their offensive line is pretty good. Put it this way: any offensive line when they had Carson there, the center for their offensive line came over and said, "Hey, we need to run the ball." He said, "Call a run to Frank Reich. Call a run play." He said, "Which one? It doesn't matter." So the guys have been together for a little bit, so it's gonna be rough. Mm-hmm. We are Matt Ryan's Achilles heel.
Yeah, Joan. So, shout out to Joan.
I think they're gonna try the same formula. they're gonna try to run the same formula that the Washington Commanders and the previous week the Houston Texans set that formula up. Because they had that 12-play, that 9-play, and that 7-play drive that all ended in scores. They just didn't have the defense to actually stop our offense from scoring as much as they did. But we were able to get them behind, so they were playing catch-up. Good.
But of the 3 weeks, Houston last week and this week, Jonathan Taylor is easily the best running back that we'll be facing. So do you think you guys, and probably the best offensive line that we would have been facing as well. So do you think that they're going to be able to gash us again with the run?
Yes.
I just think, I think
I'm hoping that we get,
I just think it's an opportunity for them to get right. Like you got embarrassed last week, the week before Houston took it to you.
Right.
If you take it on the chin three games in a row, like this is a recipe for, you know, like you start looking at yourself in the mirror, like who are you as a football team? Because I always say, you know, they start running up the gut of your defense. That's the integrity of your defense right there. Mm-hmm. It cannot happen again this week.
And somebody asked a quick question. Is it time for some N'Kobe Dean? I think it's time for some N'Kobe Dean. I feel like it's midseason. I feel like he's probably learned enough sitting behind T.J. Edwards. T.J. Edwards was out of position a lot this past game, the past two games. And if T.J. Edwards, I feel like if T.J. Edwards don't come on with it, come on with the two big guys in front of the two big guys that we just acquired in front of him, and you know, make some plays in the backfield, I think it's time to let N'Kobe Dean turn N'Kobe Dean loose and let T.J. Edwards get in where he fit in. So I mean, he's been good for us all season, but as like the run fits that I just can't, you know, I can't get away from the run fits and watching them. And yes, we're not getting ahead to Derrick Henry, but up to this point, this is a formidable test, and it's also if our defensive coordinator doesn't come out with a quality defensive game plan, how long do we sit by idly and watch this shit unfold?
That's an interesting.
We have a guy in Vic Fangio who's a proven entity.
We've been talking about Vic Fangio for months. So
we've got all the personnel. We've spent a lot of money defensively. It's time. What else do you need? You need us to hold your hand? You have to deploy these guys in a winning fashion, a winning, dominating fashion. That's all I need to see. I don't want to see nobody run the ball on us. We barely get off the field because we knock a pass down.
Now Jimmy chimes in. He says Pierce is overlooked. He's talking about Alex Pierce, wide receiver for the Colts. If you chimed in from my Senior Bowl notes, you'll know that Alex Pierce was one of my guys. You know, talk about their other wide receivers.
Michael Pittman. Talking about Alex Pierce, or is he talking about Pierce, the running back?
Alex Pierce, the wide receiver for the Colts. Michael Pittman, other starting wide receiver for the Colts, a guy who's been steady Eddie for them. Paris Campbell, in the slot. I think our cornerbacks, right. You know, Josiah Scott, you know, I saw him get, you know, he did a serviceable job, but it's overall, I think the group needs to rebound from last week's performance.
He was talking about,
we need to do the special team part.
Also, my Senior Bowl.
No, the special team part. Pierce was at your Senior Bowl.
Both those guys are my guys. Special teams.
What do you say about special teams?
We need to shore them up. Blankenship came in and messed up a drive where we had him pinned deep. Roughing the kicker. We haven't got a return to save our life. That's why they're talking to Darren Sproles. Darren G. We can't play 10 yards off the line of scrimmage this game and drop Riddick into coverage. This is where all the shit starts. Now, somebody, hold on. So, somebody sent me a thing with SpongeBob SquarePants with the Eagles hat on. With a pass saying, holding a pencil, trying to figure out a way to drop Linval Joseph in the coverage. I'm like, dude.
You imagine?
Dude.
Yeah, dude, man.
I think we lost him.
Did we lose damn Skippy? Damn Skippy?
Damn Skippy.
Now, I mean, if your score prediction, I mean, Ev, I mean, going on and think about this team here. After we took this L, are you feeling about confident about this dub this week?
I am feeling confident about this dub this week. I think that there's plenty of factors that come into it, a lot of them being emotional. I think that when you get your ass kicked like that by a much inferior opponent in Washington, that lights a fire underneath your ass. And I think
some jackass was trying to call me.
Okay. So I think that the Eagles, after getting your ass kicked, you kind of have to, they're going to come out with a fire lit underneath their ass. I also think that the Colts are coming in feeling a little bit too hot after they have a coach that doesn't have any experience comes in and wins them a game. I think that they're still riding high off of that. And, you know, they're going to play up against a legitimate top team in the NFL in the Eagles this week. So I think it's going to be a smack back down to reality for them. I think the Eagles, I think it's going to be not exactly a blowout, but I will give it a 30-21 Eagles win.
Will chimes in 24-17 birds. Jason, 34-27 birds. Kazzy says 34-14.
Ooh.
What do you have?
I was gonna say 35-17. I think our offense is gonna be a little pissed, and I think they're gonna come out and exact what I call street justice. And I think they're gonna try to help out the defense by running, having long drives and stuff. And hopefully the defense can get their ass off the field and not give up those 10 and 12 play drives, 8, 10 and 12 plays and with scores. It's like it's starting that it's getting old. The Jonathan Gannon, it's been happening since last year, since he's got here. As we give up low drives, and he's not – it's like last year they were talking about the personnel. What's your excuse this year? We have the personnel to shut people down.
Mm-hmm. Mark says 33-21. And then Jason says we better run the piss out of the ball. Miles is going to be big. At the end of the day, man, they really have to get right. I'm going to go – the offense getting back to where they've been. I'm going to go 30-17. Nice. Birds. they're best. And I remember last week someone was saying we were a little bit too confident about our Eagles. And at a point in time when the team is 8-0, you should have confidence in your football team. There's no reason for you not to be confident in what we've seen with this Eagles team. The thing that we cannot predict is
jumping at his defense,
the scheme, the integrity of a defense, and that every team has injuries, and now teams are going to have to deal with. And I always said from the beginning of the season, you're only as good as your depth. Now, if your depth doesn't come through, that ain't help on the rest of the league. So
yeah, help. Who said this? Marv Levy. Coach who went to 4 straight Super Bowls. He say, depth is great until you have to use it.
Because like Avante Maddox, like that's like a move. It's a slept on, like Avante Maddox, Lil Tay-Tay is a big deal.
Yeah.
And Jordan Davis, a big deal. But these are injuries and they happen. I'm glad they have addressed something in the middle for right now. So
taking Quez off the field for OBJ. I think after last week, I could be talked into it.
So what, LBJ? Well, you know what? Not really. I don't want OBJ. I figure Pascal. They can put Pascal in because he's playing his former team. They're playing their former team. Let him be in. Let Pascal be in there. He catches the ball.
Gotta respect OBJ though. I kind of see Pete's point here.
First of all, why?
Because. He's
not coming off a major injury.
Yeah, but he's OBJ.
So it's safe to say that if I fall in front of his legs, he's going to be a little scared bitch. Get that out of here. I don't need any bruised fruit, and I don't need any damaged canned goods. If this was early in the season and he's a year removed from his injury. Cool, but him coming back from that injury, it's going to take some time.
We were just talking about Darren Sproles coming back and returning punts. I just want to put that out there. But go ahead.
Yeah. He just did an interview though, and you see what Sproles is doing.
Yeah, Sproles is a legend, man. But I don't know, man. Not that I have to. This week has been insanely
all over the place.
Crazy for me.
Yeah, been in L.A.
Guy's been flexing at me at Paramount Studios.
I didn't even put those pictures online yet, man. It's been so. I got a wedding to roll to. Shout out to my guy Steven. He's getting married at 1 o'clock today.
He's making a very fatal mistake. No,
just wanted to shout out to Steve and Kate as they get married today. Last word. We'll start with Tank.
Are you gonna start with me because you think I'm gonna take the longest? My last word. No, I'm not. If you shut up, it'll be over pretty quick. Now, my last word is Jonathan Gannon. Come on with it. Come on. Shit, get off the pot, man. Either you want to be a defensive coordinator and the next young head coach, or you don't. But doing what you're doing, it's like somebody needs to go through your shit with a fine tooth comb to see that it's not they're winning in spite of you, not because of you. You're not putting guys in optimal positions to win. I'm sorry. It's like not even. I'm not sorry. You need to do what it takes to win, and letting mediocre quarterbacks beat us is not the way to go. We only lost one quarterback, and I'm probably being a little overzealous, a little over the top, but I've been watching the shit from him for this is going on 2 years now, and he hasn't changed anything. A lot of people said he was going to change. He was going to blitz more when we had better personnel. But I haven't seen it yet, and it's not really about blitzing. It's like have some creativity in your defensive scheme, do something to keep to get the players in a position to win. It's like because lining a player up in front of the same player time again, and the other team knows exactly where you're going to be at, you're only going to beat the teams that are not that good. So,
For me,
and go Birds. Go
Birds, of course. For me, it's kind of simple. I can't watch another video this week of another dorky white quarterback covered in chains. I just can't do it. I can't put up with it. That shit needs to come to an end. And so I'm hoping that the defense comes out pissed this week. They handle business. And yeah, man, I think that, like I said, like 10 minutes ago or so, that I think that because of last week, this team comes out pissed. They come out angry with the fire lit underneath their ass, and they handle business, man. We get right back to it. I've said before, I say it every year after the game that it happens, but we cough one up every single year to a team that we shouldn't cough one up to. You could go back, the year we won the Super Bowl, every year since, it happens all the time. So here we are at this point in the year. We're 8-1. No one thought we were going to be at 8-1 at this point in the year. Let's continue rolling, man. Let's get back on track. Go Birds.
Now, last word from Prime. He says no to OBJ. He's been putting in the work. Let's just get a game back to work. We've been killing it. With that, what we got, 28-7, go Birds. And then he says, last word, Tank, you shut up.
You don't tell me what to do. You're not even here, sucker.
So, last word, man.
You can't come outside to play, sucker. No, go ahead.
And the last word, it's time to play Eagles football. And what that is, dictate to other teams what you do best. I think Jalen Hurts, despite, he's got to get this offense going. These three and outs cannot happen. Defense cannot be on the field for long periods of time. The offense has to get right. Some of these guys, AJ Brown is playing. He was limited earlier this week, but he will be playing. I feel like it's time to get this run game going, man. Dictate to other teams what we do best. Run the football, make some plays downfield, and defense show up. That's what it is, man. We'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly. And we'll see you guys.
Go Birds!
In the next one.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.